Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to this series, The River is Here. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Colossians chapter 2. Many of you have been here before when I've taught about baptism and the fresh light that God is giving us on baptism in these days. And so the new depth to the experience of baptism. Some of you haven't, and we're going to be having a baptismal service this evening, and so I'm just going to share briefly from the Word of God. As Brother John said, like him, I was baptized, and I know that my baptism was real, but at the same time, when God began to show fresh truth and fresh light, I recognized that I wanted to be baptized into the fresh revelation, into the deeper revelation. When I was baptized the first and the second time, I was baptized twice before, it was always to a limit of revelation. And so in 1993, during Rodney Howard Brown's meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, I gave my family the freedom to hear the Lord for themselves, and Bev and the children were all baptized with me together, and it was an exciting time. Bev passed out cold, and she had to be carried out of the pool and laid out on the plastic sheeting that was there, and the Lord just did a neat work in us. And then I began to practice that same baptism and in the meetings that I was doing, and began to see just wonderful supernatural things taking place. A wonderful deliverance, a wonderful freedom coming to people. And it's been just a delightful aspect of what God is restoring. We are living in the days of the restoration of all things. I've said this in the last couple of weeks. God is restoring the power to the gospel. We have had a shallow, superficial gospel. We have appealed to the reason of men. We've tried to convince their reasons of the gospel, when really God intended for the gospel to impact the entire man from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and change him through and through. There's nothing wrong with the gospel of Christ, but we have watered it down and made so many aspects of it of none effect and separated many aspects of it. And so we'll lead people to Jesus, we'll baptize them later on, and hopefully baptize them, see them baptized in the Holy Spirit sometime later on. And God is bringing all those aspects back together in one event, which is what I believe the scriptural teaching is. That a person would get saved, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost, totally changed, filled with the power of God, and ready to walk in newness of life. And so God is just restoring those aspects of truth back to the church, and it's getting real exciting. Now, read with me from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The first thing that is going to happen tonight in the waters of baptism through faith in the power of God is that a spiritual circumcision is going to take place. Paul says that in baptism there is a spiritual circumcision. There is a cutting away, and this circumcision is performed by Christ, the anointed one, and it's by his anointing. That's why I love this new method of baptizing. Nobody dunks you under the water. We pray for the anointing to fall on you, and the anointing of the anointed one baptizes you under the water. That's a pretty good deal. Because it is a baptism by the anointed one. The circumcision is by the anointed one. And there is the removal of the body of the sins of the flesh. It's the picture of the old man, the old you, the whole old you, the body that was governed by the sins of the flesh, the old me that is cut away so that I can walk in the new me. Paul says that you put off concerning your former conversation, the old man which is corrupt through deceitfulness, lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which in likeness to God or after God is created in true righteousness and holiness. There is a dynamic putting off of something old, and there is a dynamic putting on of something new. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that was to take place in baptism, where you raised to walk in newness of life. And he says, don't you know that your old man was crucified with Christ, that that body of sin might be destroyed? See, and what has happened to many of us is this. We have been saved, but we're still carrying about a whole bunch of the deadness of that old body. Instead of recognizing that there was a circumcision, and through baptism, a circumcision, a putting off of that whole body of the sins of the flesh. I love to share the story about the 9-year-old girl in Dothan who told me this after her baptism. She says, Brother John, when I came up out of the water, I looked back down and there was another little girl who looked just like me lying at the bottom of the pool. You see, that's scriptural truth. The old you has been cut away. You have died with Christ. The old you is there and you're raised to walk in newness of life. And so the result of that is you're dead to sin. According to Romans chapter 6 verse 1 and 3, where Paul said, how shall we continue in sin when we've died to sin? And then he says, you're not that as many as of you as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. You were buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, so that like as Christ was raised from the dead, you too might walk in newness of life. So there's a dying to sin. And the reason for the dying to sin is this, because you're dying to the law. I'm going to preach this coming week on our relationship to the law and the fact that we are dead to the law. Because it is through law that comes the knowledge of sin. If there is no law, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, then there is no sin. Now that blows people clean scat away. You know, because it's like we just cannot receive that. You know, and we say, whoa, no, you can't say that. But Paul says, apart from law, sin is dead. You see, law is what incites sin. And so Paul says, in our baptism, we're identifying with something that Jesus did on the cross. He says, listen to verse 14 there of Colossians chapter 2. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Dead to the law. Dead to the law. Now I'm going to preach on Romans 7 verse 4. He says, therefore, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be married to another, even to him that was raised from the dead, that you might bring forth fruit unto God. See, the problem is we've been saved, but we're still married to the law. We're still married to rules and regulations and to works and performance. And baptism is to be the place of death to the law. I'm not under law anymore. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. He goes on after speaking about baptism. You're not under law. You are under grace. You come up out the water, not to be regulated by rules and regulations, but to live in the grace of God and be led by the Spirit of God in the newness of life that you have received through identification with Him. So there's a spiritual circumcision. The second thing that you're going to experience by faith in the operation of God is a spiritual deliverance. A spiritual deliverance. The first area of deliverance is you're going to be delivered from the domination of Satan's power. Look at verse 10 of Colossians 2. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah. Jesus is over all those things that have come against us and dominated us. And this is what he says. Verse 15. Look again. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. Do you know what that means? The weapons that the enemy has been scaring you with are non-existent. But you know what? He's the arch deceiver, and he'll convince you that he's still got weapons if you don't know the truth. If you don't know that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, the enemy will deceive you and intimidate you. I'm telling you people, please hear me. God had to take me through years of struggling in this area until I finally came to a settled conviction of the reality of what the Word of God teaches, that Satan is destroyed. According to Hebrews chapter 2 and according to 1 John chapter 3, his works are destroyed. And according to Colossians 2:14, he's disarmed. That enemy who's been intimidating you and telling you how ferocious and how powerful he is a big sham. It's a big scam to keep you in fear and intimidation. And tonight as you go into the water, you need to recognize this, that the devil hates you going through water. He hates water. Because you're going to experience a deliverance from satanic intimidation and domination in your life through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Peter describes it in the passage that we looked at in 1 Peter. He talks about baptism saving us like the water saved Noah and his family from the world. They were saved in the ark. The ark was their means of salvation, but the water was the means of deliverance, because water covered the whole earth and judged the whole system of evil and ungodliness and unrighteousness. And Peter says, baptism saves you in the same way. It not saves you in terms of giving you the gift of eternal life and taking away your sin. Baptism saves you in this way. It delivers you from that whole old system that once dominated and controlled you. Water, the water of baptism is a judgment against the demons of darkness. They hate water. Jesus said when they go out of man, they go to dry, waterless places. They don't like water. And so Jesus fixed those horrible demons that were in legion when they said, "Are you come to destroy us?" And then they said, "Send us into the pigs." And Jesus said, "Cheerio. Go for it." And they went into the pigs, and Jesus had the last laugh, because guess where the pigs headed? Straight for the water. Wham! Destruction to those demons under the water. They thought they were escaping. Jesus played a little joke on them. I'm telling you, the water destroys, the water renders inoperative the power of the principalities and powers. There is a deliverance that is to take place through water, according to 1 Peter chapter 3. That's the first area of deliverance. The second thing is, you're going to be delivered from the seduction of the world system. See, Colossians 2 and verse 20, he says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations?" See, you died to the world, because as Peter says, that was what the water has judged. You've been delivered. See, and the sad thing is that so many of us have had such a weak gospel and such a weak baptism that we came out of the waters of baptism and we were still just as friendly with the world as we were before. We had a baptismal service a couple of Sundays ago in Amarillo, and I said to people, "Bring your cigarettes, leave them in the water. Bring those things that have had you bound and just bury them in the water and leave them in the water. Bring everything that is a symbol of the bondage of the world system and by which the enemy has beaten you, and just bring it and baptize it." Some of you need to baptize your wallets tonight. Come on. Because the enemy is using that whole area of finances to keep you bound to the world system. And listen, you've died to that. You died with Christ, he says, from the basic principles of the world. Why, as though living in the world, do you keep subjecting yourself to those regulations? You've died to that. And the third thing that you've been delivered from, oh, I like this, is from the manipulation of an evil conscience. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Keep your finger in Colossians and just flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 20, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved. Okay, they were saved by being in the ark. You are saved by being in Christ. That's where your salvation is. If you never get baptized, that is not going to affect your eternal salvation. You need to hear that. You're saved by being in Christ. But what baptism does is it delivers you from the system that Jesus is saving you out of. See, and so he says this, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. In other words, delivers us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but look at this, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the writer to the Hebrews talks about that sprinkling from an evil conscience. And what many of us have, because of the law, because of sin, and because of the devil, we have come up with an evil conscience that we have not been able to get rid of. And the Word of God teaches me that the deliverance of baptism is to deliver me from that evil conscience so that I have an answer of a good and a clear conscience toward God. Boy, I love that. I love that because there's so many of you who are battling with areas. Since you were baptized as a young person or a child perhaps, you've gone into long areas of backsliding and you've been into sin or you've been into other things. And as a result of that, the enemy just keeps on haunting you with the images, with the memories, with the hurts and so on. Listen, you don't have to live with that because God has provided a way for you to have the answer of a clear conscience toward God through a deliverance that takes place in the waters of baptism. Isn't that neat? Now listen, exercise faith for that tonight, those of you who are going to be baptized. Exercise faith that when you come up out of the water, there is going to be a washing and a cleansing of all of those images and all of those memories, and you're going to come up clean and boy, pure. I'll tell you what, some of you people who've gone through sexual perversion, I'm praying that you come up out of the water with a restored innocence. He can do it. He can do it. If we saw the first Sunday I was here in Jeremiah 31, that he calls Israel, who he had previously called a whore, he calls her a virgin, then you understand the delivering power of God, that he can change somebody from a whore to being a virgin. That is a restoration of innocence. God can do it. He's big enough. The salvation of Jesus is big enough to totally liberate you from all of that so that you don't have the feeling of, I'll never, ever be the same again. You can be restored. That's the power of the gospel. That's what I'm believing for tonight. A powerful deliverance and a powerful cleansing of your conscience. Now, the third thing that we're going to believe for tonight is a spiritual resurrection. A spiritual resurrection. You are going to be, listen to verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I'm telling you, listen to me, you can come up out of the water with a surge of new resurrection life within you that can cause you to jump right clean down those 12 steps. Just, I hope you land properly down when you hit the bottom. I'm telling you, resurrection life, people. Resurrection life. The same power that raised Jesus is the power that is working within you. And that is what is happening in the waters of baptism. He said, in that baptism, you are raised with Christ. Shoo! That's pretty powerful. Romans 6 verse 4 tells us that we have been raised with him to walk in newness, 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 newness of life. Newness of life. Newness of life. Did you hear that? You're tired of the stale, the old? He's saying there is a newness of life. And listen, we're going to believe God for that. The last thing is this. There's going to be a spiritual impartation. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Boy, that's what I'm believing for tonight. That there, as the anointing falls on you and the Spirit baptizes you underwater, as you come up, there is going to be such a falling on you of the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be saturated with the Holy Ghost on the inside. I mean, wet as a fish in water on the outside, but wet all over inside, as the Spirit of God just washes into you and rivers of living water erupt out of your innermost being. Now, let me tell you the key to all of this. Paul says it's here in Colossians chapter 2. It's through faith in the operation of God. Listen to me. It's just like the symbols that I used last night of the cloth and so on. The water is just regular Roswell water. There's nothing special about the water. It's not the water that's going to do it. It's faith in the operation of God that's going to do it. We haven't gone and said a few prayers over the water and made the water holy. Listen, that ain't holy water. It's Roswell water. That's not how it happens. It's through faith in the operation of God. It's through faith in what His Word says happens in the water. And so put your faith in the operation, the effective working of the power of God, that there will be a spiritual circumcision, a spiritual deliverance, a spiritual resurrection, a spiritual impartation. You're going, as 1 Peter says, Jesus was put to death in the flesh and was made alive in the Spirit. There's going to be a spirit, revolution within you, a spiritual restoration within you, moving into a realm of the Spirit. Let's believe God for that. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your anointing to fall on us in this place, that as we come to this beautiful, beautiful act, Lord, there will be such a heavy anointing all over this place. Lord, obviously there are logistical problems with moving everyone through, but I pray in the midst of all of that and all of the fun that we're going to have, there'll be just an overwhelming sense of your glory all about us, your Spirit ministering to us, your Spirit touching us. And Lord, I just pray for powerful miracles to happen tonight, because you want to work miracles amongst us. You don't do it by the works of the law. You do it by the hearing of faith. And so I thank you tonight that we're believing your word. We're believing what your word teaches. And we believe that what you have promised is going to take place in every individual who goes into those waters of baptism. I pray for an effectual operation of the resurrection power of God in every individual, and I thank you for changed lives. Lord, I pray specifically for what Kim experienced on Tuesday night, that fear will be totally removed through the waters of baptism, because it's through fear that the enemy keeps us from trusting you, believing your promises. So I pray, dear Lord, that there will be a radical, mighty, ultimate deliverance from fear, all fear, and we'll come up out of the water being so secure in your love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And I thank you, Lord, we're coming out to walk in the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the boldness of that new life, not intimidated by the enemy, not bound up by fear, but free, 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 because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this truth of baptism that is going to bring freedom in Jesus' name, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the series, The River Is Here, with John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this or other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com, or you may call us toll-free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you, and thank you for listening.